Well, welcome everybody. Glad to have you again. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm loving this game so far. And I think we probably just want to go around a little bit and just talk without going too far into discussion at this point.
Yeah.
Just kind of generalize what you guys are thinking of the game so far.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey.
We're just kind of talking about general.
Late. Yeah, it's better late than never.
Yeah, I was late too. Don't worry about it.
Thank you. I bet you're not as cranky as I am, though.
So, what did you guys think of Act One?
Wow.
If I were to sum up Act One in one sentence, it's that getting old sucks.
Fair enough. Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
Good job.
Act One brought to you by AARP.
Subscribe today. Yeah, I'm signing up tonight. I actually got an AARP letter the other day. I was like, come on, guys. I'm 31. Cut me some slack. What else?
Anyone else?
General thoughts so far.
I liked it.
It could be about gameplay and just overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little repetitive, but the story is really what keeps you playing. It's almost like a book that you can't put down in a way.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I've played it before, but even the second time playing it through, like, it just draws you in like nothing else.
It does.
It's so great.
Yeah, it was, at first you're like, okay, there's not much to do here, and then the story kicked in, and it's like, oh, Lord, you got me.
Yeah. I agree that it was, go ahead, Steph.
Oh, what I was going to say is that I have to be the first to say that, like, and Michelle can attest to this, is that I'm kind of poo-poo-y about, you know, kind of sprite RPGs, usually.
Really?
Just because I'm a very visual... I'm a very visual person, and so it's just not pretty enough for me, I guess I could say. So I was a little skeptical, was very skeptical at first, but as Frank was saying, once you started playing it, like, it just really... drew you in. Like, it wasn't hard for me to just play and, you know, just to keep going at it. So I was very extremely pleasantly surprised by it.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I was sucked in from the moment I started, honestly. I did not expect it that to be that way. I'd heard stories about it being a good game, but I'm literally blown away by this game. The story, really. Not even. Yeah. I mean, the gameplay is light. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. The puzzles are pointless.
Yeah.
But it's something to do. But the story, I mean, it's so well written. It's hilarious. I'm laughing out loud when I play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same here. It's amazing the way they blend this very serious, very touching story with, like, just laugh out loud, awesome moments without breaking any sort of flow. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's brilliant. I didn't know it was made by RPG Maker.
I do.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Blow my mind with that, yeah. Well, anyways, without taking up too much time with this discussion, there's obviously a lot we can say here, so let's get it right into it. We kind of already talked about, you know, the general overall concept, but... what do you guys think of the way the storyline is told from backwards to forwards? You think that it works?
Totally. That's what...
Solving
the mystery. And a lot of things that, you know, are, you know, right off the bat, like, you know, going backwards, you know, you're sort of, I think, maybe more aware of, all right, what means something and what doesn't mean something? It's like you're looking at, you know, it's like the bathrooms are, you know, it's like, is there something in the bathroom I'm missing?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird. Like, I wandered into the bathroom with the two kids in the beginning. I'm like, oh, this is...
You know this is being recorded, right, Joe?
What's that?
You know this is being recorded.
Yes, okay, now I do. I mean, I'll tell the story again if you like.
Anyone else?
You know, I felt like it made the dialogue a little awkward when, you know, because they're telling the story backwards, so, you know, they have to reference things that happened before, and you kind of have to, you know, figure it out as you go. But what a unique way to do it, for sure. I don't think it would have, you know, it wouldn't have played out right if we had gone from beginning to end, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have to agree, the mini games are pointless, but being super familiar with this game system, that's actually really hard to do. So I was still...
Yeah.
Did we lose Michelle, or is she...
Yeah.
When I saw the Origami Rabbit, all I could think of was the Origami Killer from Heavy Rain.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I was Johnny, anyone.
I'm really... Oh, by the way, I wanted to just quickly mention, for those of you who have played through, please be careful not to accidentally say something, because I feel like it's one of these games where you could accidentally say something.
Oh, yeah.
Giving away the plot by accident, because it's just so easy to just slip up. So,
yeah.
For the sake of all of us who don't know what the rabbits are all about, because I'm really intrigued by that, don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
no, but yeah. So, Steph, why don't you talk about question three? Because I'm interested in hearing what people have to say about
it. Yes.
That.
So, this is a really important question, guys. Would you take a job as a memory traversal agent? Why or why not? And which of the doctors do you say that you relate to the most? Really important question.
Probably the most important question.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Michelle.
Okay, I'll be quick. Absolutely, because before it was illegal, you could record music, as Neil said. And I think that would be really cool to be able to poke around in someone's head and bring home memories and mementos and things. And I like Neil because he's snarky and ridiculous. And I don't know how he ever got a doctorate because he's it's like a 6-year-old.
He's so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
He cracks me up.
Yeah. Every time he breaks something, you know, Hulk smash and Hadouken and
Hadouken.
Good stuff.
I would think I would, but I can't make up my mind who I would. You know, there were moments where I would be more like, what was her name? I can't even think of it.
Ava.
Yeah. That would be Ava, and moments where I'd be Neil. You know, it's like, right. There's a time for both, I guess.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they kind of balanced each other out really well.
Clark, you had a thought earlier. Do you remember what it was?
I just wanted to say, I really relate to Neil. I think he's hilarious, and especially, so having played through it twice, this is something that you can miss in this first act. His, wait a second. Never mind, I might be wrong. I think this might be in the second act.
Yeah.
Never mind. is the thing, never mind. Take it back. He's an interesting and compelling character, as we will all learn. Never
Someone
mind.
Someone wasn't listening.
No, I just, well, okay, because here's what happened, is I was playing through the first act, and then I was like, you know what, I'll play the second act too. So I'm mixing up. Just from this last playthrough, what was in the first and second act. I think actually what I was about to say was in the second act. So my bad. Forgive me.
Oh, it's okay.
But there's something interesting coming up.
I think we're going to have to start, like, banning people from the group if they keep this up.
Wow. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I don't mess around.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Time for Chris to form a splinter group.
Yes.
Banhammer.
They have this, like, the outcast group.
Me, anyone's welcome in my group, guys.
Would you be an agent, though? I mean, would you want the job that they have?
I would.
That's what I'm curious about.
I think that it really depends, I guess, on the ethical issues of it, because, I mean, even like the guy says right at the beginning, oh, what about my privacy? And they're like, well, we'll try to not screw with your privacy, but inevitably you're going to be finding all this stuff. And even the fact that you used to be able to record stuff, I mean, if you're, I mean, imagine you record someone's, like, sex life. That's, you know, there's some really weird situations you could find yourself in. So
for sure.
I guess it really depends on the ethics of it within the context of that world. But in an ethically good world, yes, I would definitely do it because it would be awesome. And I would love to know people's stories like that. It would be so cool.
Interesting.
I wouldn't want to have to go to through 8 years of college to be able to do that. Like, it sounds like a cool job, but...
True. But I'm sure it probably pays well. Because I'm sure these people, like, pay out the wazoo to have it done.
Maybe.
I would guess. Maybe.
I mean, he's got a giant mansion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if he struggled to pay medical bills, still, I think he's well off.
Yeah. Overall. Yeah. I personally would... I would find the job very interesting, and I think I would enjoy it, but I have a feeling I wouldn't be very good at it, because I would probably, like, wander around and lose focus on the task at hand, and
so then
and then I would completely probably lose it whenever the clients would die, because I can't handle that. Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling that I would enjoy it, but I would be really bad at it.
Well, that's actually a good segue. I was actually in the middle of messaging you to kind of maybe we could segue and kind of blend this next question with this part of the discussion, because one of the things I'm thinking is like, okay, do you guys think that the attitudes of the doctors is a little bit disrespectful or sometimes flippant, and would this kind of job cause you to become desensitized? And I think Steph kind of just touched upon that, although she said she would break down and cry, and I wonder if that would always be the way you'd react after doing it for many years.
Probably.
Would it become just a job?
Yeah.
Or would you still realize this is a human being who has loved ones and a history? And, you know, I want to explore that a little bit, because I know the characters are very, like, casual. This is business as usual for them.
Well, I wonder if it's more of a coping mechanism, because... if you really do think about it, this is a pretty depressing job to have.
Yeah.
And...
depends on how you look at it, I suppose.
You know the outcome of the story at the end. And, I mean, depending on the type of person that you're traversing their memories, I mean, it could be something that really does mess with you, you know? That really have a lasting impact on your own way of thinking and, you know, your own goals and life in general. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, imagine if this existed in real life, the burnout rate for technicians would probably be pretty high.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
that would make sense. Mm-hmm.
I know that working in the medical field, I've become desensitized to a lot of stuff and laugh at a lot of things I probably should not laugh at. But I think I'm with Chris in saying that some of that is a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm around depressing stuff all the time and I feel that out, I bring that depression home with me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. Well, I think what's interesting about it is in, like, the very last line in Act 1 is Neil looking on at the broken memory and saying, oh, I was really looking forward to seeing this. And he's all alone, so he's not really performing for anyone.
Yeah.
It seems as though he's actually being somewhat moved by this man's experience.
Sure.
And kind of maybe experiencing something he hasn't experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of insight into maybe his soft side, if you will. Did anybody else pick up on that?
Yeah, I got that too. As they went further and further, it seems like this was more than just an average job.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it got a little sticky at points.
Yeah, especially since Johnny didn't really know why he wanted to go to the moon.
Right.
It's a mystery for them as well. So they're trying to figure it out as they go.
Interesting. Yeah, no, definitely some good insight there.
Yeah, because they really acted surprised whenever, you know, kind of shocked whenever they asked him, well, why do you want to do, you know, when he was telling them what he wanted to do, go to the moon. And then he was like, well, I don't know why. And they were like, well, you know.
What the heck, dude?
Yeah. Yeah, well, what are we doing here, you know?
Like, if we're going to do this, you're going to need a better answer if you to convince yourself, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. I think that, I think when Steph told me the premise of the game, it said that the, you know, the technicians only, they can only grant that wish, you know, at the end of the person's life, like Johnny. And so right there, I mean, it's kind of like a, like an in-home care or a hospice, you know?
Yeah.
And my mom worked hospice for a while, and it was rough, you know? I mean, she was pretty familiar with how awful things get towards the end, but I think if you had to go in and, especially since you know, it's kind of an illusion, you know, they're going in, they're hooking up this machine to this person who's dying, they're gonna grant them their last wish, so you know how it's gonna end. I mean, the person's gonna die, and so they'd have to be really careful not to get too attached, you know, and I think that that would be impossible to be deep inside someone's life and not come out, you know, more empathetic than we did going in.
That's a good point.
I think it would be impossible.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you could avoid it at all.
You'd Unless have you to be a real bad person.
Yeah.
Cyborg.
I mean, heck, we're playing a video game and I feel like I'm connected to the person's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even real.
It's almost like Inception in a way. Like, how do you, you know, how do you, if you've done this so many times, how do you separate reality from, like, the life of a person? And, I mean, if this was a real technology and everything, I could see people kind of getting completely lost if they do it too many times and really not like just completely forget like who they are and where they are. So
absolutely.
Which that's where the 8 years of college comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Intense psychological care.
Yeah. And with the next question. In a memory, it's revealed that River told John to stop her treatments so he would have enough money to finish their house. We want to obey loved ones' dying wishes, but could you do this if it made you choose between something, quote-unquote, not really trivial, but just kind of materialistic as building a house and allowing a loved one to possibly live longer? Would you be able to make that decision?
Something I really like that happened there is I think Johnny said exactly what we all would want to say. And, you know, he's like, well, why can't I be selfish? You know, of course, you know, screw the house. I want to save River.
Yeah.
And then Isabel was like, well, that's just arrogant. You know, you shouldn't say things like that. Let her have what she wants. If she wants to die saving this house, let her do it. You know?
Yeah.
I say screw the house, man. I don't care if she's miserable, she's staying.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It would definitely be, almost, I mean, to me, personally, it'd be almost an impossible decision to make.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard to say at this point. Like, I don't know what the outcome is. I don't know what's so important about the house. I mean, I guess it's just something they started, and maybe we'll find out more later, but... Yeah, I don't know. That particular scene hit me the most because there's that part where he's talking to, is it Isabel? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he basically gets up and he's like, I don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I was just totally moved by that because I can relate to that. You know, I can relate. And I've known a lot of people who have lost, well, not a lot of people. I knew one guy who lost a spouse and it is insanely hard to watch him go through that and to have watched him go through that. And I get it. I don't think it's selfish to want to have your companion with you.
Yeah.
And I think it may be somewhat selfish for River to be saying, hey, look, like, I just want to die. Like, I don't care how you feel. You know, finish the house. Yeah. It's what I want. You know, you have to honor my wishes because I'm going to die, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
It's almost
I don't think she's coming across that way. I don't think she means it that way, but both could be argued that they're kind of both acting selfish.
True. Yeah.
It's almost a very similar decision that you have to make, like we did in Life is Strange.
Yeah.
With Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
With the very end, you mean?
Well, the very end and also
when she was in the wheelchair. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys pieced together the clues to figure out what her condition is? They drop a real easy one if you Google it. You know right away.
No.
When the doctor gives them the book by an author, you just Google the author and it's very clear. So I'm not going to tell anyone if they would consider it a spoiler, but the hint is there in the first episode. They never explicitly state what it is at any point in the game.
Okay.
But you can just Google the author Tony Atwood. And he's an expert on her condition. So
it's a real condition.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, would you guys consider a spoiler if I just say it and save you the trouble of Googling?
No.
I don't think so.
She just has Asperger's. She has Asperger's.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
They drop quite a few hints and for some reason I don't know why they never come out and explicitly state what it is, but it's very clearly intended to be Asperger's, and that's why she's making these very strange decisions.
That's why she's also very emotionally disconnected in a way. She doesn't really know how to socially connect to him. But my question is, maybe this is a bigger discussion, but I mean, Asperger's isn't fatal, is it?
Well, no.
I know she's dying, but like, what are they going to do to keep her alive longer?
Yeah, no. Though I mean, I guess she has two separate conditions. There's a condition earlier in life that makes her, make these strange decisions, and then whatever's killing her, they don't specify that either, and I don't know what that is. But it's two separate things.
Unrelated.
It's her Asperger's that makes her choose not to get treatment for whatever it is that's killing her.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, I was playing Act One, and I'm like, so are they talking about Asperger's, or are they making up this imaginary disease like they do in RPGs where you need to travel to this far off land to get this very rare root to cure her, or are they actually using a very real world type of mental condition? And it makes complete sense too, because you're also in the high school scene where it's Johnny, right?
Yeah.
Where he's saying how really the only reason why he's kind of into her is because she's just really weird. So, you can pick up on that with the way she acts and interacts with other people, too. Especially the movie where, like, he goes to leave and she was like, well, we were in the same theater, so what's the difference of, we were watching the movie together.
That's when I started to kind of get clued in, that and the fact that she kept reading the same books over and over again.
Yep.
Hello.
On the point of if I could make that big decision, like standing on the outside, we really have an objective view of the entire situation.
Yeah.
And we don't have, like, the sentimentality of such a decision.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I were in Johnny's shoes, I may have made this same decision.
What decision is that? I mean,
To build the house instead of saving my wife. But then, you know, on the other side of it, I don't know. Like, I really don't know.
Right.
I could make the decision and be brave for the sake of my wife's last wish. Or I could be like, hey, no, you're staying here.
It's like a tough call. Of course. Like you guys said, it came up in Life is Strange. I mean, I think we've all either been in it or known someone who's had to make a decision like this in real life.
Yeah.
Never is it easy.
Mm-mm.
I guess...
Even like now in current events, California just legalized euthanasia.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty recently, going to be coming into practice pretty soon. But yeah, people are going to want to die, so there's going to be lots and lots of families making that decision. Do we, you know,
that's crazy.
Let grandma die, or...
Because of the election, is that what you said?
Yeah.
I would not doubt it. That was good. That was good.
Sorry.
No, that was good. Wow. Why don't we move, for the sake of time, if there's no other thoughts, we can move on to the next topic. But did you have a thought, Michelle? I didn't want to cut you off.
Nope, I'll leave it at that.
the one other thing I wanted to say. So I'm going to be honest and admit that this scene, I don't cry at things, like, ever. But this, the scene where he's saying, you know, trying to get her to basically just convince her not to die was really resonating with me. And I did tear up at that. And my wife thought it was kind of funny. But that's okay. Because it was, this is...
You're a real man.
I'm man enough to admit that I cried. Kind of like a little girl. So
it happened. Choked up at points.
Yeah. That was an old Yeller moment. Yes.
I haven't full on cried yet. But we shall see.
No, you will. You will.
Just wait. Is that a challenge?
Just wait.
I wouldn't say it's a challenge.
I challenge you.
My experience with this game, I would say, yeah, you'll probably cry.
Well, we shall see.
This is something that's coming up you're talking about?
Something to look just forward to, guys.
The ending, the ending is very moving. I'll just leave it at that. Yep. It's very moving.
That's what I heard. I kind of wanted to... bring up another top point, because this is a question that I actually have wrestled with myself in my life, and that is, if you could see your life starting with the end and the results weren't maybe ideal, maybe you saw a lot of tragedy or things that didn't quite work out the way you thought they were, would you, if you had the choice, bother going back to the start and living it anyway if you couldn't change the outcome?
I would.
If you couldn't change the outcome?
If you couldn't really change it, and you know, if you knew how it was going to end, would you still live it? For the, because there is a point they bring up in this story so far that the good moments are worth living, even if they're not going to be something that, like, I think it was Ava who says to Neil at one point, like, "Hey, it's happy now.
Yeah,
we know it ends horribly, but like now is all that matters."
Yeah.
I really took a screenshot of that, so I'm putting it in right now.
That actually struck me, because I wrestled with this a lot. When my grandfather passed away, I remember looking at my grandmother and being like, what was the point? Like, if you... why would you go through all that, love someone, be married for 50 years, and then have to lose them? Like, how do you even cope with that? No? So I wondered, like, would she go back and marry him? If she knew it was going to end this way, and she had to actually, knowing she had to pull the plug on him, would she still marry him?
I would like to think so, because she knew of all the happy moments that happened in between the beginning and the end. And I think those are worth whatever pain you have to go through.
Yeah, I was actually really annoyed that at one point Dr. Rosaline is like, oh, I hate watching this mistake happening when they're getting married. And I think that, like, that's just such a really sad view of life. Like, that just because, I mean, even no matter how horrible things go, like, they've clearly had a very beautiful and deep love for one another that, you know, whatever else they might have to deal with, like, that in itself is worth it.
Yeah, that sort of struck as out of place for her. At that point in time.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Franka, go ahead.
It's like, well, you know, you're only seeing snippets. You don't know what the intervening years were like, you know. So it's like,
exactly. You could have,
you know, all strawberries and cream the rest of the time. You know?
Yeah. And I think Dr. Rosalind's comment kind of goes back to the whole desynthesizing herself.
Yeah. I think clearly Johnny exhibits a sacrificial love that is really obvious, and regardless of her ailments and her, yes, he struggles with being somewhat selfish perhaps, but you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he would do anything for her. I can't imagine that he would change anything. You know, I think the only thing if he had to, you know, maybe he would change her dying, maybe, if he could, but I think he would not change living with her, his life with her. So, no, I proposed that question, and I think I've had a change of heart on it for sure. I mean, I'm not as cynical as I used to be with that, because, you know, life is worth living, and there is purpose in life, and it's not just to die, you know, and I think that death is a part of life, but there's also hope and peace that can be found through death, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard to see that when you're staring at death. You know, I mean, like, when you were talking about how you kind of thought that when you were looking at your grandmother, that's kind of, I mean, during those times, it's when you start thinking things like that. You know what I mean? Because you're so emotionally, you know.
Wrecked.
Right.
Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
As for me, I would, even seeing if it ends badly, I would still live it out.
I asked for greatest hits, real, but... Just show me the good parts, Doc.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, like, we, again, I think it was Steph who said it, or someone said it, but we don't know how you got there.
Yeah.
And all along the way, like, I think it was Frank who said it could have been a wonderful life, and we all got to die someday.
Yeah.
There's no escaping that. So you might as well live while you can live. Yeah. And suffering is just part of life, and it builds character, and it builds strength, I think.
Yeah.
And it also makes the happier parts even better.
Right.
Very true.
Well, especially if you have a person that you're bonded to and partnered with in life. So, like, I think that Johnny, I mean, I'm maybe getting ahead of myself here. I'm sorry, Steph, but one of the things that I'm thinking is, like, without River, I think there's no Johnny. You know, I think that's just the way it is. I think she completes him.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you know what just hit me like a lightning bolt?
Did I just make you cry? What?
No. Put this up against the Captain Pike episode from Star Trek.
I don't know that.
Captain Pike, the very, like, well, I think it was, I don't know if it was the pilot episode or whatever, the Star Trek, Captain Pike.
It was the unaired pilot.
Yeah.
What's that?
Okay.
It was the unaired pilot.
Yes.
That's neat.
And there's a court martial because Kirk is taking a now disabled Captain Pike from some sort of radiation accident, and he's basically a non-communicative paraplegic in some sort of a medical apparatus, and he only has like three lights in front of him back in the old Star Trek days of limited special effects. So apparently, you know. The crew of the Enterprise is taking him to a quarantine planet that has been deemed to be off limits. And the whole reason for it is that Captain Pike and his crew went there at one point, and the aliens on this thing had an incredible power of illusion in the man's mind, in people's minds. And they can create any illusion.
Oh.
So Captain Pike wanted to go back and, you know, be able to, you know, he met a woman in prison there, you know, did the whole Captain Kirk thing, and he wanted to go back there and let them get back inside his head and, you know, give him a life, so to speak. You know, even, you know, he wasn't physically able to do anything. He wanted these illusionists to get inside his head and make sort of like a paradise for him.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Thank you for sharing, Franco.
There you go. Look it up.
Look it up.
Someone was saying something. Was it Michelle?
Probably. I was going to say Netflix probably still has that episode available.
I'm sure.
I want to see the parallels.
Well, now I ruined it for you.
No worries. I do have a thought that wasn't written down. Steph's going to kill me later for going so far off track. No, I'm just curious, like, do you think that the story would have worked the same if it was told from the beginning to the end? Do you think it would have had the same impact?
No.
If it was played out linearly?
No, yeah. I don't think so. The mystery of it is a big reason of, you know, part of why it's so compelling.
Yeah. Because, I mean, any other RPG would have been told the opposite way. You know, I think. We kind of already talked a little bit about our next discussion points, but
gonna bring up something, and it has kind of to do with one of those questions actually, but I, you know, I kind of wrestled with, and I just want to see if anyone else kind of felt this way, from how people are talking, I'm not so sure, but, like, towards, I think it was around, it was right before, I think, that Johnny asked River out in high school, or maybe it was earlier, a little bit earlier than that, he confesses to his friend at the lunch table, and I think Chris mentioned this as well, that he doesn't want to be average, and that he was gonna, he liked River because, you know, his friend was kind of like, well, why do you like her? You know, she's weird. And he was like, you know, because he was like, well, I don't want to be average, and I know that she has something that I need. And I don't know, maybe I took that the wrong way, but to me, I was like, so does he just like her because she's weird? Like, is there no other, like, for me, I don't know, like, at first, like, towards the end, yes, I got their connection, I got there that they really did love each other, but I really had trouble swallowing that towards the beginning.
Well, didn't his friend ask him the same thing? It's like, so, you only like her because she's weird?
And he didn't really deny it, though.
Yeah.
He
didn't River ask him that, too? Didn't she
get challenged on that? Yeah. He gets challenged on it, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that's why River kind of went in and started making the rabbits, because he had told her the truth.
Yeah, that's what I had another one too, yeah.
And then she was basically upset at that point, because the whole thing was basically a lie at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an interesting point, though, because when I listened to him talking at the lunch table to is it what's his friend's name again?
Nicholas.
Nicholas. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
When he's talking to Nicholas, he's like, look, I don't want to be an ordinary guy. Like, I want to live an extraordinary life, basically, is what he's saying. And I don't actually see a problem with that. I don't see that as selfish. I mean, I think if you're an extraordinary guy who wants to make an impact on the world, you're going to kind of need an extraordinary woman by your side to make that happen.
Yeah, but if the only reason why you're going after the girl is because she's weird, then there's some issues there.
Yeah.
But see, I saw weird as a term that a high schooler would use to just describe what he doesn't understand. I didn't really see it as like, well, oh, she's bizarre and I like that, so I'm going to take it.
Okay. I got the feeling that the only reason why he was interested in her in any form of the, you know, imagination or whatnot was just because she was weird and he wanted to, like, exploit that. I mean,
I
get the feeling that he wasn't, his initial interest in her wasn't so much anything about her as, like, as a person, as so much as just what was interesting about her with her little quirks.
Yeah,
I do think that he grew to, like, actually really love her and know her.
Yeah.
But the start out wasn't the best.
Because it was almost like he was using her because of her weirdness.
And the game kind of hinted at that too, because like when he was talking to Nick about it, the music kind of took on this kind of sinister tone, at least.
Really? Oh yeah,
that
you're
I
right.
Tell.
Yeah.
Like it kind of went to this kind of weird, kind of eerie. I can't remember the exact like tone of it, but I remember that it definitely changed tones from like the kind of okay music. You know, it kind of went a little bit deeper and darker, and I was like, because I was taken aback, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is going on? Like, why would he say something like that? Like, I was really floored by it.
Do you think they're trying to vilify Johnny in some way?
No, I don't know about vilify. I don't know if I go to that extreme, but I think it just kind of, to me, at that point in the game, I was like, wow, like, does he not love her at all? You know what I mean? And it really got me questioning things. Now, as the game progressed, that kind of got better. But at that point in the game, I was a little doubtful that he even liked her.
It was almost like jerky high school teenage boy type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that they were trying to vilify him so much as like show that this is a complex romance story. Like this,
true.
If it was just like they fell in love in high school and then they had a romantic picturesque, you know, relationship and marriage, that's a really boring story.
Yeah.
But, this was, not the perfect relationship from start to finish.
True.
Yeah, as good as it was.
True. Yeah. That's a good point.
I think the fact that, Johnny felt bad enough about it that he had to confess it to her. I think is an indication that he knew it was, you know, not the right reason, but, you know, that's it all turned out for the best, but.
Yeah.
Well, can you guys clarify really quick, like, I mean, I thought, is he just confessing that he approached her because she was weird? Is that what he's confessing?
Yes.
Okay. I don't...
Well, it's not for sure that that's what he's confessing, and I don't... I've played it before, but I don't remember. So I feel like I can say without spoiling that I'm not sure, and even Neil hints that... Or one of them says, like, I don't know if that's extreme enough for her to be this upset.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm just not feeling like the whole story's been fleshed out yet. I feel like there's something else that we don't know.
Yeah.
Because I just don't understand why that would be such a big deal. Like, I didn't... You guys saying it is making me question it, because I never... I didn't get that at all. I felt like he was being genuine talking to Nicholas about it. I didn't get any kind of, like, ulterior motive at all. So now I'm wondering if I'm way off base. Or if you all are.
I mean, he's also just a teenage boy. Teenage boys are never 100% pure intention.
So. Sure, of course. Yeah. And that's true.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of, you know, because as I said, like, it really hit me at that point in the story. But then I did kind of, I did kind of tell myself, well, they were in high school, so.
Well, and that's one of the things that's so cool about this game is that as we go through the stages of his life, he's a distinctly different person at each stage of his life, just like a real person as they age. Mm-hmm. So it's part of what makes him so compelling as a character.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah, he could have sloughed that off and never brought it up.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was important to him.
Yeah.
That she know that.
Yeah.
And maybe in some way he felt like, I mean, I guess now that you guys are talking about that, maybe he felt in some way guilty. Maybe he felt like he was taking advantage of the fact that she was suffering from Asperger's.
Yeah.
Maybe people, you know, maybe she would think that, I don't know. Maybe he felt like it would just be something to get off his chest. I don't know why he brought it up, but I guess why I'm wondering if there's something more to it.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of winding down, but there's one more question I kind of wanted to, and we may have already touched on this a little bit, but River's condition, we know it's Asperger's now, but I mean, granted, the condition as a whole, is it seen as a burden? Or in some ways, does it seem to be helping put life in perspective? Specifically, maybe for Johnny, and even the scientists, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Could you repeat that?
Yeah, I'm saying River's condition. Is it a burden, according to the storyline? Or is it helping put life into perspective, perhaps, for the scientists and or for Johnny? Because the more I play this game, the more I realize that the story is not about Johnny, really, at all.
It seems like the further in Johnny's life, it does become sort of a burden.
You know, a physical, worldly burden, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially after, you know, he does the confession, and then she, because, like, Isabel, was it Isabel, or...
The friend.
So she's saying that, you know, she has it too, but it was caught earlier in her life, and she was able to get treatment for it. Yeah. Whereas River doesn't have the coping mechanisms to deal with it. So because there's this big, huge bombshell that happens, she doesn't quite know how to deal with it. So she just turns toward herself. And, mm-hmm. you know, Johnny's trying to break her out of that shell, but she's just stuck in there at that point and becomes withdrawn and all that stuff. So, you know, I could see it become an emotional burden at that point to Johnny.
Yeah. Which I think is very, very, very real, I think, because anyone that has to deal with a parent or with a spouse that has a condition like that, I think it would kind of be a similar, you know, a similar problem.
Yeah. And I mean, what? I have, my friend's brother has a really severe case of of autism, and I see how that's just a real drain on the mother and everything. So, I mean, I could see in that aspect, yes. But then I also have another friend who has Asperger's, who is much more highly functional in everything. And you know, he's got a good head on his shoulders and is able to function properly. But, but yeah, I mean, autism, it's a tough thing, and you know, it's a burden, because not a lot of people know how to deal with it.
So. What I find really interesting about it, though, is like it's definitely a burden, and he is burdened by it, but I don't feel that he ever resents her for being a burden. Like, it you know, he's able to deal with the burden and still love her without it affecting that.
Yeah,
I think that I'm seeing a lot of, like, I think that what's great about it, I think the story is trying to show that she sees past all the material things. Like, she wants him to finish the house, but I'm wondering if she wants him to finish the house for his own sake, not for her wish. Because, I mean, you notice, like, he brings up all the time, he brings up money, you know, how am I going to afford this? What about her bills? What about this and that? And he's very hung up on the earthly sort of burden of this, right? Whereas this game is very spiritual. It deals with memories and emotions and feelings and, like, things that you can't touch, you know, and or see. And I think that that's really interesting. What's the word I'm looking for? Narrative, if you will, on life in general. Because, like, how true is that to everyday life? I mean, we all die, and we can't take the things here with us. At the end of the day, money is just money. And I think that's sort of one message we can get out of this. I really value that. This game's making me think, you know, about my own mortality in a way. I don't know if that kind of... I don't know if it is a very tangible burden, but even when she's asking him about the rabbit, like, describe the rabbit, it almost sounds like she knows more and he's just not clued in. Like, he's missing some fine detail that I'm really hoping they explain, because I'm really interested in what she's getting at, because she does it a couple of times. And you know, he's just not getting it. And I look at myself and I'm like, how many times do I just not get it? I'm looking at what I can see on the surface. I'm not understanding this deep meaning here, or this long-term big picture value.
Yeah.
I just see what I think I understand. I don't know. Preaching over.
Thus endeth the lesson.
Yes.
Goeth forth from this place. Back to the point of disabilities being a burden, I can't really speak to, like, mental or developmental disabilities, because I really don't have anyone close to me that I've been able to interact with that has something like that. But my brother is missing a leg, and that can be really inconvenient at times. However, because he's missing a leg, he's been able to establish a career as a professional snowboarder. So, like, if that terrible, terrible thing didn't happen, he wouldn't have all the opportunity that he has now. So, on the surface, kind of a big deal that your leg got chopped off. However, there's so much more that he has access to because of it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I think that about closes us for the night, unless there's any final thoughts. I thought this was an awesome discussion. Oh.
Did anyone have a hard time on the horse and trying to talk to Neil and access the memory?
I don't know where the flip to go,
I was about ready to break my keyboard over it because nothing was working.
Yeah,
I had to look it up on the internet.
Yeah, like, I had to end up going through a walkthrough to find out what I was doing wrong.
I came this close to having to look through the walkthrough, but I found it just... I mean, I was on the verge of being like, I'm just going to... I feel really strange for opening up a walkthrough for To the Moon, a sprite RPG, but, you know... But I didn't have to. But yeah, that was... It was super... It just wasn't... They didn't make the... the things clear to where you need to go to get them.
Yeah.
The only thing I looked up was the puzzle about, well, that wasn't even a puzzle, really. It was just the thing about the animorphs in the library.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, the, yeah.
I never
watched it. If you go up to the desk, they tell you.
Yeah.
I know. I figured that out. Oh, I looked at the walkthrough. It was like, you just got to activate this one other thing. I was like, oh, okay. So that was clever, though.
How do you guys do on the minigame things?
Oh, brother.
It took me a while.
Yeah.
There was one of them. It was like, I don't know, a 3 or 4. It took me like 11 turns. I don't know how or why.
Yeah. The first 3. Yeah. Exactly. The first 3 or 4 of them, it took me like, I think one was like 20 turns, just because I did the wrong thing and it all got mixed up, and I was like, well,
yeah, that's annoying.
Crap. Yeah. Normally, I'm really like compulsive about things like that in games, and I want to get a perfect score. But in this one, I was like, I'm not even gonna.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I just want to do the story. Come on.
Yeah. I don't think I care that much. I definitely don't care. I almost always start with the diagonal one and just go from there.
That seems a good strategy. It seems to work.
Yeah, it seems to work. Well, anyways, I thought this was a really good discussion. I thought it was a great game so far. I think this is the kind of game that was made for this group, you know?
Yeah.
Totally.
So,
did you guys say you were going to announce the next game?
And we're going to do that. But I was going to say, that being said, Steph, really quick, is going to just mention the plan for the next phase. I believe our plan is to finish it, right?
Yes, our plan is to finish it, so it goes, the game is 3 acts long, so you'll be playing act 2 and 3, so just go to the end,
Do you know how long it was?
It should be about around, how long did it take, does anyone know how long it took you to do the first act? For me, it took about 2.5 hours, but
yeah, it took me about 3 hours.
Yeah, a little over 2 for me.
Okay, so probably about 2 hours for the finale.
Act 2 is like 10 minutes, so
Act 2 is 10 minutes, and then so maybe like an hour and 45 minutes. Even it might not even be 2 hours.
Okay,
but because I know the whole game in itself took me about 4 hours, 4.5 hours, or something like that. So
okay,
yeah,
and cool. Scarred you for the rest of your life.
yeah. So you know, have a box of tissues ready, everyone.
Have your loved ones.
Mm-hmm. And and enjoy. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Well, thank you, Steph, for playing ahead and doing that for us.
No problem. Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna announce our next game, and the next game which we will be talking about. Help me with the date here. Next Tuesday. No, not next Tuesday. 2 Tuesdays from now. The 29th, I believe it is. Our game is Oxenfree. OXENFREE. And the description is a supernatural thriller about a group of friends who unwittingly open a ghostly rift. Play as Alex, a bright, rebellious teenager who brings her new stepbrother, Jonas, to an overnight party at an old military island. The night takes a terrifying turn when you unwittingly open a ghostly gate spawned from the island's cryptic past. How you deal with these events, your peers, and the ominous creatures you've unleashed is up to you. You determine every aspect of Alex's story while exploring Edward's Island, uncovering the base's dark past, and changing the course of your friends' lives. And some of the comments are that it takes the best parts of supernatural 1980s teenage horror films and combines it with believable characters, beautiful set pieces, and haunting VHS synth-pop soundtrack to create a masterpiece. It sounds like it's getting 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 4 out of 5. It's doing really well. And it's only $15 on Steam right now. It does have a PS4 release, but I don't know when that is yet. It might be before we chat about it. But right now it's only on Steam. And I'm really excited about it. It looks like a sort of a side-scroller puzzle type of thing.
Yeah.
It looks very pretty and charming and rich, so...
It's $20 on the one, $15 on Steam, it looks like, right now.
Yeah, it's on sale on Steam.
Oh, has it released on the Xbox One already?
Yeah.
Dang, Microsoft, beat me to it. Yeah, I mean, Steam, you know, I think you can get the same effect there, so might as well save yourself $5.
Yeah.
Or you can spend $18.74 and get the soundtrack, too.
There you go.
I'm all set. One of the comments says, a mix of Freaks and Geeks, Poltergeist, and the best teen films of the 80s. And I freaking love Freaks and Geeks.
That sounds great.
Yeah, Freaks and Geeks is the best show ever made.
Sounds like heaven.
Yeah, I'm all over that. So.
Yeah, but it's on sale. Do you know how long the sale lasts, Chris, or does it say?
Until the 21st.
Yep, 21st.
Thank you.
Until the 21st. Okay, and then I'm going to post about it tonight.
Thank you.
On Game Chat for anyone that didn't make it. But yeah, so if you want to buy it, if you don't already have it, then you should go for it.
Michelle said Oxenfree What does that mean?
I tried to attach a screenshot, and it's not.
Screenshot didn't happen. Sorry. Okay.
You might get like 20 of them here in a minute.
So, everybody cool with that game?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks Scooby-Doo-esque, yeah. So I'll take it.
Yeah.
With the synthesizer soundtrack. Yeah.
So we'll discuss that 2 weeks from today, and I'll let you guys know probably at the next meeting how far you should go.
Yeah.
So, recommend buying it while you can.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Cool. Any final thoughts or questions or anything before we close? Okay, great. Well, thanks for coming, everybody.
Adios.
See you all next week.
Yeah, all right. Have a good night.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.